Reading from William Gouge on Hebrews. But exhort one another daily, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, of the damage of neglecting the means for softening the heart. To enforce the aforesaid duty of mutually exhorting one another, and that from time to time, so long as the season continues, the apostle declares a danger of neglecting the same in these words, lest any of you be hardened. He had showed before in verse 8 the great damage of hardness of heart. He does therefore here inculcate that damage to make them the more watchful against it. The manner of bringing in this damage is by way of caution and prevention in this particle, lest. Hereby it appears that what means of softening are omitted or neglected, the heart will be hardened. As the heart of man is of its own nature hard, so after it is by public or private means softened, if those means be not still used, the heart will fall to its native hardness. As wax and clay and other like things which are naturally hard will, upon withholding means of softening, after they have been once softened, fall to their native hardness, so the heart of man. Or as water, though it be made scalding hot, if fire be taken from it, it will soon wax cold of itself. And as all manner of heavy things, being by some means or other drawn upwards, will of themselves fall down again if those means are taken away, so the heart, there is a natural proneness and inclination in it to hardness. The indefinite expression, lest any of you, implies that of all sorts, even the best, they were subject to this decay and to this hardening of their heart. In this respect, they ought all of them to be careful in practicing the aforementioned duty mutually one to another, among all sorts of them. Of the deceitfulness of sin, the apostle further declares the ground of that proneness to wax hard in this phrase, through the deceitfulness, or with the deceitfulness of sin. So as it is by the manifold deceits of sin that it prevails so much as it does upon men. The particular deceits hereafter specified give evident proof of this. By sin is here in special meant the corruption of nature, that corruption in which all are conceived and born, which they carry about them so long as they retain their mortal body. It is that which in Scripture is called the flesh, opposed to the spirit. It continually lusts against the spirit, Galatians 5:17, and is ever soliciting a man to do evil and hindering him in every good thing that he enterprises, Romans 7:18. It contains in it all manner of evil lusts, Ephesians 4:22, which are called lusts of deceitfulness or deceitful lusts, because a man is exceedingly deceived by these things. By reason of this, deceitfulness is attributed to riches in Matthew 13:22. For this inbred corruption makes men so to dote on riches as they prefer them before true godliness and heavenly happiness. Though in some special respects the inward corruption may justly be styled deceitful, yet is not this evil quality to be restrained only to it. As a dam or mother is, so are her imps and brats. Both innate corruption and also outward sins sprouting from thence are deceitful. The apostle attributes this very epithet, deceitfulness, to unrighteousness in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. He also calls philosophy, that is, men's conceits, grounded upon their own corrupt reason and sense, vain deceit, Colossians 2:8. And another apostle calls the lascivious practices and unseemly carriages of some formal professors their own deceivings, wherein they sported themselves, 2 Peter 2:13. In all these places, a word of the text is used, even 6 times, in which some speak of our natural corruption, others of the fruits of it. In this text, Sin may indefinitely be taken for any kind of sin, inward or outward, for every sin is deceitful. The verb from whence the Greek noun translated sin is derived has a notation from a Hebrew root. In Psalm 78:17, this signifies to embitter and provoke. For every sin exasperates and provokes God. In that respect, it has many deceitful devices. All the devices of sin are as fair baits in which dangerous hooks are covered over to entice silly fish to snap at them, so as they are taken and made a prey to the fishermen. There is a Greek word thrice used in the New Testament which is taken from that practice of a fisherman. Our English translated entice in James 1:14. Beguile in 2 Peter 2:14, allure in verse 18. The primitive root from whence the Greek word is derived signifies deceit. So the noun signifies meat or bait in which fish, fowl, or other living creatures are taken. And the aforesaid verb signifies to lay a bait or to catch with a bait, and metaphorically to entice, allure, and beguile. This deceitfulness of sin is a strong inducement to make us watchful against it, and that the rather because of our foolish disposition and proneness of nature to snap at every bait and to yield to every temptation. No man is willing to be beguiled, though most men love to be flattered and delight in it, yet when they discern that their flatterers mock them, they are offended. That we may the better discern the mockings and cozenages of sin, I will set some of them before you. The deceits which sin uses are such as these. 1. It presents itself in another dress than its own, or it pretends fair advantages, or it insensibly soaks into men's hearts. It so bewitches those that give entertainment to it as cannot be cast off. It accommodates itself to particular men's humors, as Zedekiah and the 400 false prophets, observing that Ahab was set to go against Ramoth-Gilead, answerably ordered their prophecies, even so as best befitted his humor, in 1 Kings 22:6. Thus, lust sets upon the phlegmatic humor, pride on the sanguine humor, anger on the choleric, revenge on the melancholy, passion of the female sex, lasciviousness on youth, stoutness on the strong man, covetousness on the old man, so the like on others. When once it begins to tempt a man, it will hardly cease until it has prevailed against him. Though the Spirit resist it, yet will it continue to resist the Spirit, Romans 7:21-23. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death, James 1:15. It works itself into a man by degrees. At first it says, as Lot did of Zoar, Genesis 19:20, is it not a little one? But that little one is like a little leaven which leavens the whole lump, 1 Corinthians 5:6. At first it says, taste a little. Upon that taste follows a liking, then a desire which moves him to commend it and to accustom himself to it. Evil communications corrupt good manners, 1 Corinthians 15:33. From words they proceed to deeds. Next, it suggests good effects and events to follow upon yielding to it. Abusing the general principle of the apostle, all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. Though God, through his unsearchable wisdom and almighty power, may bring good out of evil, yet is not sin the true and proper cause of good. To like purpose does it pervert this apostolical cordial, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, Romans 5:20. It much presses the common practice of most men, charging such as yield not with singularity, and thereby deceives many. It insists much upon moderation, and alleges that a man may be righteous over much, and to cast himself into many unnecessary dangers, Ecclesiastes 7:16. It much inculcates the power of repentance, that supposing the worst that can be said of such and such a sin, it may be redressed by repentance, pressing Nathan's answer to David in 2 Samuel 12:13, and the effect that followed upon that repentance of Manasseh in 2 Chronicles 33:13, Peter 26:75, and many others. To conclude herein appears the deceitfulness of sin, that there is scarce any sin committed for which he that commits it has not some defense to patronize it. Is all manner of heretics and idolaters, so impious, profane, rebellious, unmerciful, intemperate, riotous, seditious, ambitious, and injurious persons have their apologies for their sin. Section 149 of Remedies Against the Deceitfulness of Sin. Many of the means prescribed for perseverance may be applied against the deceitfulness of sin, but besides them, it is fit to set down other particulars parallel to the particular deceits of sin, which are as such as follows. For this end pray, as Ephesians 1:17 and Philippians 1:9 and 10. First, thoroughly try matters, as it is said of the angel of the church of Ephesus, "You have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars." Revelation 2:2. By a due and thorough trial, false shows and pretenses will be discovered. Number two, prize the uncertain advantages which sin makes show of, with the certain damages that will follow upon yielding to sin. Thus will the fair proffers of sin be rejected. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of reward, Hebrews 11:26. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, Matthew 18:26. Be always watchful, so sin cannot seize upon you unaware. This rule is for this end prescribed in 1 Thessalonians 5:3-6. Give no entertainment to sin at all, lest it so bewitch you as you cannot cast it off. Do as Joseph did in his kind in Genesis 39:8. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Seek not to satisfy your humor. There is great danger in this. By this may we soon fall into great distempers. Solomon to this purpose gives this advice, put a knife to your throat, if you be a man given to appetite, Proverbs 23:2. And Christ thus, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, Luke 21:34. After sin lets off for a moment, be prepared for further assaults. Satan 3 several times tempted Christ in that 3 several ways, and when he departed from him, it was but for a season. Luke 4:18. Avoid the least degree of sin, for sin is of a growing nature. Stinking weeds grow faster than sweet flowers. Some men have a proverb in saying, a little doesn't hurt. The full proverb is this, a little doesn't hurt if it not be taken. If the devil get in a claw, he will soon make way for his whole paw, yea, for the head and the body and everything. Don't judge manners by events. Good things may have bad events, and evil things may have good events. It is not of the nature of evil that good follows upon it, but the almighty, overruling providence of God. A skillful apothecary can so temper poison with other ingredients as to make a cordial of it. Will it upon this be safe for any man to drink poison? Don't follow a multitude to do evil, Exodus 23:2. Multitude is so far from justifying or extenuating sin as it aggravates it the more. As many faggots make the fire to be greater. A prophet by this aggravates the cause of Israel's captivity, that all Israel transgress, Daniel 9:11. And in this the sin of the Sodomites is aggravated, that both old and young, even all the people from every quarter, conspired in it, Genesis 19:4. Be well instructed in all things which concern God and his glory, and in the things that are truly righteous, that in them you may manifest your holy zeal and not be cooled with a pretense of undue moderation. In all things don't fear the blame of being righteous over much, A man may indeed be righteous overmuch in matters that have no warrant from God's word, but are either frothy apprehensions of his own brain or vain inventions of other men. In that which is truly and properly righteous, one cannot be righteous overmuch. Take heed of yielding to sin upon presuming to repent. Repentance is not in your own power. It is a special gift of God, Acts 11:18, 2 Timothy 2:25. It is not therefore safe in provoking God to presume of that which he only can give. Be well instructed and exercised in God's word. Be this that you may be made perfect and thoroughly furnished to answer all vain apologies for sin. By the law of God, David was made wiser than his enemies, Psalm 119:98. Section 150 of the Resolutions and Observations of Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The sum of this verse is a direction to keep ourselves and others from backsliding. In this we may distinguish the inference and the substance. The inference is the particle for. The substance lays down first a duty, secondly, the danger of neglecting that duty. In the duty is laid forth the act to be performed, exhort. The persons both agent and patient, one another, the time. This is set out in two ways, by the extent, daily, by the restraint, while it is called today. About the dangers of this, observe the manner of expressing it by caution, lest, the manner in which it consists. Herein we may observe the kind of danger, hardness, be hardened, the persons that may fall into it, any of you, the cause of falling into it. This is, one, generally set down to be sin, two, particularly exemplified by this epithet. Deceitfulness. Observations. Directions must be added to dissuasions. This I gather from the inference, and the former verse was a discussion. In this verse is added a direction. Christians have need to be incited to duty. Why else should this duty of mutual exhortation be pressed as it is here? Christians must quicken themselves in quickening others. Christians must stir up others to that which they see fit for themselves. These two arise out of this word, one another. Private mutual incitations are special means of stability. This word one another intends private as well as public persons, and that which is required is for the establishing of one another. Mutual duties must continually be performed. So much is intended under this word daily. There is a season of doing good. This word today implies a season. The opportunity of doing good must be taken. This phrase, while it is called today, sets out the opportunity when the duty is to be done. There is danger in omitting this season. This particle, lest, intends a danger. Danger must be prevented in all sorts. This phrase, lest any of you, is indefinite and comprises of all sorts under it. Man's heart neglected will soon grow cold. This is a danger intended under this word, lest, and expressed in this word, hardened. Sin causes hardness of heart. Thus much is here expressed. Sin is deceitful. The epithet added to sin shows it to be so. Sin prevails the more by the deceitfulness of it. This phrase, through the deceitfulness of sin, gives proof of it.